This is Power Lunch, exclusively on Lightning Power Play via the iHeartRadio app.
You know, did we take a step forward tonight? I thought we actually, you know, played better tonight, game tonight than we did the other night where we won. So sometimes that happens, but it was just tough because we just shot ourselves in the foot tonight. So you get three in this league, you should be able to get points out of when you score three. We don't get anything. So it's, again, comes down to what you got to keep out of your net.
Yeah. Keep out of your net. How about keep out of your lawn? Everybody safe? Dave, did you get that tornado warning last night? I'm in my home.
No.
I'm
heard
doing a little,
the weather.
Yeah. I'm doing a little prep. And then all of a sudden, I get a text message. I get a voicemail, and it's on TV. Tornado watch in Pasco County was one of the counties. And I'm sitting there going, my goodness. And boy, did it rain. I thought it was the Carolina Hurricanes coming in. But it wasn't. It was just Mother Nature. And
well, the Oklahoma City Thunder were at Amalie Arena last night.
That might have been it. I was worried about my kids waking up.
This is like the perfect storm, no pun intended. You got the Thunder, and you got the Lightning, and you got the Hurricanes, right?
That's right. That's right, Dave. Oh, man. So I hope everybody that was affected by that is okay. It was pretty vicious. But here we are, and we're getting you set for the game tonight. You know, Dave, this is what I enjoy most about the regular season, particularly towards the end. Meaningful games against really good opponents. We started to see that the previous two with the Florida Panthers. Of course, the Lightning lost a couple of nights ago to Florida. And I want to get into that with you a bit here today before we take a look at Carolina. But, you know, they talk about crunch time, and we've talked about this before. You've got, what, 12 games basically remaining on the schedule for a lot of teams, and the ones that are looking to make a push heading into the playoffs, these are very important games. We've talked about it with the Lightning. They're trying to find their game just in the nick of time, if you do believe in that, heading into the playoffs, and now is the time to get going. But I'd rather do it against some pretty good competition that has some more meaning than, let's say, a Tampa Bay playing the Buffalo Sabres, so to speak. I mean, this is actually a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the game tonight.
Well, you can't control who's on your schedule, but I think any game at this point is to be welcomed for the Lightning as they're trying to build up their game. The quote that Steve played from John Cooper post-game probably sums up the mentality of where the team is at right now and where their focus is. They do want to win. They want to get points. But Coop made mention of the fact that he felt they actually played better in the game they lost than in the game that they won. And they're going to continue to try and build up their game. Now, usually when you're taking on one of the other top teams in your division and in the league, it's harder to be completely at your best because the other team is a really good team, right? So I think this is a challenge for the Lightning, but whether it's Carolina or Columbus coming in, and Columbus has kind of hit that point at least since the Lightning last saw the Blue Jackets. They've made some trades, including the David Savard trade, but they traded Nick Foligno. They have some injuries. Werenski's out for the year now. It feels like, looking at some of their box scores, they lost some of their push. Having said that, the Blue Jackets always seem to get up to play the Lightning. So I think the Lightning should welcome games against an opponent that I would like to see the Blue Jackets play with some fire in their belly, maybe because they're taking on the Lightning. And, you know, the Lightning still have a game with Chicago, definitely in the playoff mix. They're going to be hungry. Detroit's playing very well right now. Lightning have a couple of games left with them. And if Dallas is still in the mix, those three home games down the stretch are going to be meaningful. So whether it's Carolina or one of these teams that is battling for its playoff life, I think that these are going to be worthy opponents and a good opportunity for the Lightning to continue to try and hone their game and build up their team defense.
It's all very, very well put, and if you want to react to that, you can. At Bolts Radio, he is Dave Michigan. I am Greg Linnelli. Game night tonight, Tampa Bay taking on Carolina. But let's briefly look back, Dave, on what happened a couple of nights ago when the Panthers downed the Lightning 5-3. And as you wrote, I think correctly, in your extra shift column, which can be read on the Lightning website, I felt like, and I think you and Phil did too, that the first period wasn't terrible for the Lightning. I thought their compete was pretty good. You know, sometimes teams, they get a couple of bounces, and what they do with those bounces, that's going to determine whether or not that, you know, they had a good first period or any type of period or not. And to Florida's credit, and this kind of goes back to what we talked about with the Panthers, they're a really good team, and they were able to take advantage of a couple of fortuitous bounces, and they ended up leading 3-1. But you came away from that first period thinking, all right, you know what? It wasn't terrible. The Lightning had some opportunities offensively. They had, what, 28 shot attempts, 15 shots. You felt like they defended a lot better. I think they did. And unfortunately, and this is something we can get into a little later on after we talk about the first, maybe they weren't able to sustain that. But I thought the first period, you know, again, we're trying to look for some positives with this team when it comes to getting out of this funk a little bit. It wasn't all that bad, and I know the score might have not been indicative of how they played.
The Lightning played very well in the first period. Now, you can play really well and still have a couple of isolated miscues, and it just so happened their isolated miscues ended up in the back of their net. I'm thinking about goals 2 and 3. And the too many men on the ice penalty that put Florida on the power play was unnecessary. That was a mistake. They had a breakdown on their penalty kill where Barkov got open in a prime scoring area with Hornquist providing net front presence. That's a breakdown on the penalty kill. But it can happen, right? I mean, like, it's hard to be perfect and not give up any scoring chances. We've seen periods where the Lightning have given up, you know, upwards of 20 shots, and maybe half of those might be scoring chances. They didn't give up many scoring chances in the first period, but the ones they gave up ended up in their net, it felt like. Like, the Panthers didn't generate much, but they did generate a good look on that power play, and they got a shot and a rebound and a goal. The third goal, I think John Cooper said that's a tough one. I'll be a little bit more blunt. That just can't happen. The third goal cannot happen for so many reasons. First of all, it comes in the last 10 seconds of the period.
Right.
That's a huge no-no. Second of all, the Lightning had possession of the puck not 10 seconds before the goal. And I know that you have spent a lot of time talking about Tyler Johnson and where is his game and he needs to produce more. And should he be center? Should he be wing? What has the season been like for him? Because he got put on waivers and he had to waive his no trade clause. All of that is fair. But whether you have 30 goals or one goal, if you were in the last 20 seconds, let's say, of a period, and you know you have a guy on your back, Sam Bennett, that was a high-risk play by Johnson. To try and backhand it. He got the puck in the neutral zone and tried to quickly backhand it up the ice because the Lightning were thinking offense. Well, you know what? That's a prime example of not sacrificing defense for offense. What are the odds that you're going to actually score in the last 15 seconds, 20 seconds, let's say, of the period when you're on your side of the red line and the Panthers are set up in their structure? I guess it's possible. But the better play would be, particularly when his back is to Bennett. So I know that there was a coverage mistake, too, where Huberto got loose. Coop mentioned that. I think that one's a little bit tougher because that's a weird rebound. And I don't think Johnson's expecting the rebound to come right to Huberto.
I was
going to
say, that was on Johnson, too, if you want to go
that route.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, I think he had his fingerprints both where the play started to go wrong, and then the actual goal. And if you want to say that Huberto kind of turned up on him in the corner and got the puck back to the point, maybe Johnson needs to be a little tighter to him. That's beyond my expertise of critiquing a play because it happened pretty quickly, and Huberto makes a good play there. Like, he turns up, and he hurries it back to the point. Johnson is there, but he couldn't get a stick on the puck. I'm talking about the drop pass. But the turnover was one where he had a choice to make there, and instead of peeling back, like, he can get that on his forehand, peel back to your own zone and turn with it and look up ice. Instead, he tried to, like, quickly one-time it on his backhand, and Bennett was there and knocked it away. And that was the first domino to fall. So that was a significant, you want to say, series of mistakes that was a very significant domino effect of problems that led to a killer goal. That is a killer goal. And I don't want to jump ahead, Greg, but you said, like, what happened to the Lightning after the first period? I think there were a few things. Number one, the Panthers probably elevated their game. But that goal is a tough one to swallow. When you play as well as the Lightning did, and, all right, let's say it's 2-1, but you scored the last goal. Like, all right, let's keep it up. Let's keep pushing. We got one back. We're outplaying these guys. They have got nothing going. We should be able to tie this game. That's a much different dynamic than look at all the good things we did, and we just gave up a goal with 8 seconds left, and it's 3-1. And I believe that that factored in to kind of how much the Lightning were able to play in their toes into the second period because they were not able to maintain it. But so to me, goal two and goal three were mistakes. Goal one was just a bad break. I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. That's an innocent point shot that's going wide of the net, hits Chernak and goes in the net. Those are the hockey gods smiling on Florida. That can happen, though. And that goal didn't deter what the Lightning were doing well or deter them in their effort to continue doing things well because they dominated the first period. They absolutely dominated that first period. But a couple of mistakes ended up in their net. There was a bad luck play on the first goal. And this is a question that I don't have the answer to, and I think it's a fair one, and John Cooper speculated this postgame, Greg. He was talking about the whole game, but I think it's really applicable for the first period. With all the possession the Lightning had, were they able to generate enough scoring chances? And I don't know the answer to that because I know they had some close calls that were not even shots on net. Like Hedman had a blast on the power play that missed the upper corner by inches. Inches. It was going in the top of the net. Gord to Cirelli on the back post twice. That's not even a shot attempt. That's a pass.
Sure.
But Cirelli couldn't get his stick on it. Like, those are plays that the Lightning can convert, have converted, and will convert again. They just happen not to in that first period. On the other hand, I'm kind of thinking, like, how many, like, unbelievable saves did Bobrovsky have to make? Like the one he made on Braden Point right at the end of the game.
And,
like,
Dave, that was his best. That was the best scoring chance you can make a case the Lightning had in the third period, by
right,
far.
In the third period. Yeah, but did we see a lot of them in the first period?
No.
I'm not sure that we did. So that's where I think it's, did they do enough to make Bobrovsky uncomfortable in the first period? And I don't have an answer. I'm not saying yes. I'm not saying no. I think the jury is kind of out. I think they did some things well. I think they had a little bit of bad puck luck, but maybe they also could have done more things too, in terms of getting pucks to dangerous areas and trying to create chaos and force him to make those desperation saves, which he didn't have to do too much in the first period.
You know, with all of that being said, and you're absolutely right, and the save he did make on Point was his best save of the night. I think he got that with the shaft of his stick. I mean, I think Point had him, and as Brian had said on the postgame show, he felt like, I don't think he was knocking Point, but he felt like he knew he beat Bobrovsky, but he just didn't elevate the puck high enough to really bury it. So maybe he thought there was no way Bobrovsky was going to get the shaft of his stick on that puck, and maybe instead of really bearing down and roofing it, he didn't. And as a result, Bobrovsky makes that save. Maybe, Dave, that's one of those things where, as a whole, collectively, when you're a team, when you're struggling, you know, maybe that doesn't go in. But maybe when you're feeling it, it does. And that was Bobrovsky's best save of the night. With all of that being said, though, in the third period, you know, they get that goal from Joseph, and it's only a one-goal game.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what makes it in some ways encouraging but frustrating at the same time, because we just mentioned, you know, did we think Tampa Bay had a ton of great scoring chances maybe after the first period? The eye test maybe tells you there were a couple of opportunities that they had, but maybe collectively not as dangerous. And I think you're right. I think you have to give credit to Florida. I think they defended pretty well, and, you know, the Lightning weren't able to break through for whatever reason. But that being said, early in the third period, it's a 4-3 game. And you're feeling pretty good that maybe the Lightning can at least get some points. And they didn't. And that's how this goes. I mean, we have seen this. The Lightning have done this to other teams as well. It happens. But I think there were some encouraging things to take from that game and to apply it tonight going against the Carolina team, who I think, I mean, you've heard me say this, I'm not going to waver from it, Dave. I think Carolina, and I'll use the word you just used, makes me the most uncomfortable when it comes to playing in a playoff series, if these two teams were going to meet. I don't want to say they're the best team in the division right now, but you could make a strong case the way they're playing. They are playing the best, and we'll see if that plays out. Who knows? We have a few more games left. But I think the Lightning are going to have to find it in themselves to elevate their play a bit more, because whatever Florida does forechecking-wise, I think Carolina does it better. And I think they have some skilled players that can hurt you as well. So whatever the Lightning did in the first period, they're going to need to up the ante a bit, I think, for a full 60 minutes, even though, as I told you, I don't think that's possible to do in today's NHL. They're going to have to play a really good game tonight and tomorrow, I think, to get some points against a really good Carolina team.
Well, so if we're talking about their team defense, and I am going to circle back to the game on Saturday, because I think it relates to what you're talking about for this two-game set against Carolina starting tonight. The Lightning did defend well in the first period. If they defend like that moving forward on a regular basis, they are going to have a lot of success. So I know that I mentioned the two mistakes that ended up in their net. But mistakes are going to happen, and with Vasilevskiy, many times mistakes don't end up in the Lightning's net. The issue was they were not able to maintain either their dominance in terms of puck possession in the second and the third, but they were also not able to maintain the same level of tight structure in the second and the third. Now, some of that might have been score effects, and you're down. You have to press the attack a little bit more, especially in the third period. But I don't think the Lightning gave up one odd man rush in the first period, but we started to see some creep in the second and third. And the Lightning were a little less clean coming out of their own zone in the second and third. And there were more scoring chances against Vasilevskiy in the second and third. So was that due to the score? Was that due to the Lightning sagging a little bit after the disappointing first? I don't know. I think we're going to have to kind of wait and see. But we can believe two things at the same time. We can believe that they did defend a lot better than they did, especially in their two previous games, the game they won against the Panthers and then the lopsided loss in Nashville. But we can also believe that they can still defend better, because I think that game as a whole was better, but still not to the level the Lightning want to get to, because they couldn't maintain what they showed in the first period in the final 40 minutes. And I will add this, Greg. Florida impressed me in the first four games in the season series with their pace of play, how quick they were, and they still show that. I mean, they have some guys who can skate fast, but they also play at a high pace. I was very impressed in these last two games with how they are defending as a team. And they're doing without Ekblad, who is their top defenseman. I understand team defense is more than just the position of defense. It's the five players on the ice. But I think one of the reasons why the Lightning were unable to build on the Joseph goal in the third period, I mean, they made it 4-3, not even 2 minutes into the third period. One of the reasons why, the Panthers locked it down. There were a few scramble plays the Lightning had, I remember, where they got a shot to the net, Bobrovsky made the save, and there was a loose puck in front, but the Panthers got to those. And then there was the point chance at the end of the game. But other than that, the Lightning didn't have much going offensively in the third period, and I think that's a credit to the Panthers. So, look, they're two different teams, but if the Lightning have a lead going in the third period in one of these games upcoming, I would like to see them defend the way the Panthers did in the third period, understanding that you can defend really well and still give up a chance. Like, the point chance was, as you said, maybe the Lightning's best chance in the entire game. And the Panthers did allow that, That is hockey. It's hard to be perfect all the time. And the Lightning were able to make a play off the rush there to get it to Point, who was open. Goalie bailed out the Panthers. But kind of outside of that, the Panthers D'd up really, really well. And that's kind of what I've been talking about. Of like, that's what I want to see from the Lightning, right? That's how I want to see them handle what the other team is throwing at them. And when you have the lead in the third period, you know, you can really zero in on that. It's a little different if you're down and you're having to press the attack a little bit, and sometimes you're susceptible to counterattacks. But you know, I think that is something to watch in these two games against Carolina. Can the Lightning defend as well as they did in the first period? Which is weird to say because people are like, they gave up three. I know they gave up three, but they still defended really well in the first period. Can they maintain that or pick that back up moving into this two-game set with Carolina, a very skilled, fast, dangerous offensive team? A
couple of things, and then we can take some questions on the other side of the break at Bolts Radio if you want to. We certainly can break it all down coming up tonight. You mentioned Braden Point. I thought that was one of the positives individually, Dave, from that game, because we talk about how this team needs to find another gear offensively. You know, three goals is pretty good. John Cooper will say, listen, if you give up two or less, you're going to find yourselves winning a lot of games. You know, three or more, it becomes a bit of a dogfight. The Lightning did score three, and he gave up five. One was an empty netter. So certainly, to what we've been saying, I think there needs to be a little bit better defensive effort from the Lightning, even though we did see improvements. But I did think one positive offensively from this team, and there could have been a few more than the one I'm about to talk about, is Braden Point. I thought Point was very noticeable throughout the game. I thought his speed obviously was there, creating some scoring chances, Dave. I thought he was getting some looks, and it was very encouraging to see Braden Point be as active as he was and as dangerous as he was offensively. And it didn't translate to multiple points. It didn't translate into a hat trick. But, you know, listen, when Stamkos and Kucherov,
well, he did have a goal and an assist, so he did have multiple points.
Well, that is true. That is true. Maybe not a hat trick, I should say. But when we talk about Braden Point, he is the one guy, I think, with Stamkos and Kucherov being out, that can really drive the offense. And teams are going to focus on him a lot more. We understand that. But I think he is the one guy who is a game breaker and a game changer. And I thought, at least against Florida, he was very noticeable. The other thing that Brian had mentioned in the postgame show, Dave, and I know you listened to it, was that the third line going against the Barkov line all night, you could tell they weren't as sharp offensively, weren't as crisp, because they had their hands full with Barkov. And that line was really good. Barkov, I think we appreciate how good he is, but I think every time you see him in person, for whatever reason, when you start talking about the best players in the game, everybody wants to go to the guys who put up a lot of points, and that's fine. But is there a more complete player, Dave, than Barkov? We talk about Braden Point and Cirelli on this team being really good two-way players. You get the sense watching Barkov that, for whatever reason, maybe still doesn't get the recognition he deserves, but certainly I don't know if you would take more than a couple of players in front of him if you were building a team and you were focusing on the offensive side. That guy, I thought, really opened up some eyes, at least for me, that you could make the argument he was the best player on the ice in both games.
I think within the league, he is recognized for being as good as he is. Remember we had that question last week? And I think you fielded the question when we were not on air. You told me you responded to it, but a fan was wondering if Braden Point should be moved down to a different line. And you said that didn't really make a lot of sense to you. And I said, well, if you move Braden Point, then you're just changing the matchups, because whatever line Braden Point is on, that's going to be the line that the other team is going to match against. And I feel that way about Barkov. Like, the Lightning matched the Gord line, which they wanted to be their shutdown line, with McDonough and Savard in both games against Barkov's line. Well, what was Barkov's line? It was Barkov, Nikita Gusev, who was playing his first two games with the Florida Panthers and had not played an NHL game for weeks. He had been relegated to healthy scratch status with the Devils. And the other winger was Mason Marchment, who's relatively new to the NHL. I mean, we're not talking about Barkov with two experienced wingers with whom he's been playing for years and years and years. And it's just like whoever it doesn't matter almost who Barkov is playing with. If Barkov is out there, you want to get your best matchups. That's my point. Similar to the Braden Point situation, how teams might look at wherever Point is in the lineup, whoever he's playing with, we need to get our two best defensemen and our shutdown forward line out there whenever we can. And you can get that matchup, and you might still struggle. He's tremendous. I mean, I think I've said it's not like I watch him play every single game, but because the Lightning and Panthers play a fair amount, I see him play more than a couple of times a year, and I can't remember him ever having a game in which he was not at least at a good level, if not dominant level. And there are some games where, you know, he might not get any points. Maybe he's minus one, minus two. Like, that's going to happen. He might have a rough night now and again on faceoffs, which he usually doesn't. But beyond all of those kind of statistical numbers, when you watch the guy play, he never seems to have a subpar game, at least when I watch him play, which is a huge credit to him.
I don't know if he'll end up being this guy because the way he played, and he was just so creative offensively but so stout defensively, was Pavel Datsyuk. Barkov, when I watch him a bit, has some of that where he's just – I don't know if he really ever has a bad game, and he does a lot defensively too in addition to what he can do offensively. I mean, the passes that he can make – he's just a dynamite player, but I feel like I watch him and I say, there's a little Datsyuk in him, you know, a guy that's just consistently great, and maybe sometimes those don't stick out as much, but what a phenomenal player, and at least it was fun watching him the last couple of games. But the Gord line, as Brian was saying, was matched up with those guys, and you know, maybe didn't have the impact they wanted offensively just because they were chasing those guys.
Yeah.
Around
I liked McDonough and Savard as a pair, though, that, in the two games.
Yeah, that's starting maybe to come together a little bit, huh?
Yeah, and if the Lightning and Panthers do meet in the playoffs, which is possible, they could meet in the first round. It's possible they could meet in the second round if both teams get through. If they don't meet in the first round and both teams get through their first round series, what would the Lightning do with that line? Presumably at that point, maybe I shouldn't presume, I don't know how serious his injury is, but presumably at that point, Verhaeghe would be back. And Verhaeghe's been playing with Barkov for much of the year. And I think Duclair was the other winger when the teams met earlier this year. Now Duclair is playing with Huberdeau and Bennett, who had a really good Florida debut as their second line center. But Barkov is the guy. Like, that is the guy you have to worry about the most. And the Lightning do have some options. I mean, they don't have to match Gord's line. Anthony Cirelli, there's a reason why he's been mentioned as a Selke Trophy candidate.
Sure.
I don't know that he's going to get consideration this year. This year has been a weird year, and for an award like that, it's pretty tough because a lot of people who have votes are not watching in person the games involving – three quarters of the league, right? You're watching the games that are taking place in the division where you happen to reside. Having said that, you know, the Lightning could go with a Cirelli matchup. And it wasn't that long ago that Braden Point was drawing the Bergeron line as an assignment. So the Lightning have some options. They don't only have to, like, say, well, it's Gord's line and that's it. But that will be a challenge for whoever sees the Panthers in the playoffs, figuring out how to limit Barkov's effectiveness with your matchups is going to be a big key. And I think if you can do it, you are going to give yourself an excellent opportunity to win the series. He's that important to their team.
He's phenomenal. At Bolts Radio, we'll get some questions in. We'll take a look at Carolina when we return and maybe go around the league as well. The Vancouver Canucks were back playing, and they got a gutsy win over the Maple Leafs after being off for quite some time and being hit with COVID and all the news they made. And we can touch on that a little later on as well. He is Dave Michigan. I am Greg Linnelli. Steve Versnick is producing. We've got a game tonight, Lightning and Canes. You can listen to it all right here on Lightning Power Play.
The the perfect social distancing distraction for your lunch hour. This is Power Lunch, only on Lightning Power Play on the iHeartRadio app.
That time of year, Dave. We're going on Twitter and we're finding out how many points a team needs to clinch a playoff spot, right? Our buddy, what's his name?
Damian Echevarrieta.
Damian Echevarrieta.
I don't know what's more complicated, reading the chart that he sends out or saying his name.
By the way, that chart is confusing. I have to be honest with you.
You don't like it?
I'm somewhat intelligent. I'm not, you know, going to sit here and ace the SATs and do all this, but I can read.
Yeah.
I feel like when I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, okay, well, how many points do they have left?
So what he has on there, he has for the teams that are out of the playoff mix, not out of it, below the playoff cut line, the point number until they're eliminated. What he does not have in there is the point total needed for the teams above the playoff cut line to clinch. So that does require a little math. It's good for you that Steve is there to guide you along. I'm okay at math. I can do that calculation myself, but I know you have disparaged your own math skills. So
I have.
Counting on your fingers.
I need to hold hands.
But I think that it breaks down. What I like about it is you can see on one page the remaining schedule lineup for every team. And you really get a sense of how challenging that schedule might be, or big matchups. Like, I didn't know before I started looking at this, he started sending it out last week, that Nashville and Chicago were playing three in a row, and that starts tonight. That's a huge series. Nashville comes in 2 points up, and Chicago is a game in hand. So if Chicago can make noise in that three-game set, that's going to turn this race a little bit more on its ear, because we were talking about how Nashville had the inside track, right, not that long ago. Well, they went to Carolina and had to swallow two regulation losses.
You know, I don't know if I'm going to start revising or revisiting my thought process on the Lightning and where they want to finish, because I think the way they're playing right now, it probably doesn't matter, because they need to figure out their game, Dave, more
Agreed.
Than anything. And that's the biggest thing. But for those who have asked the question over and over again, and they've routinely asked, you know, Greg, where do you think Tampa Bay should finish? I mean, does it matter if they win their division? With all of that being said, I don't know if it matters with the way the Lightning are playing, but let's say the Lightning find their game, and I don't know who that fourth place team will be. Presumably, if they get in, you would think, Dave, that fourth place team is probably playing pretty well, because you're going to have to, I think, to hold off some of these teams that you're fighting for a spot. Maybe I have to revisit, you know, the importance of finishing first, assuming Tampa Bay plays well towards the end here, playing a fourth place team compared to, you know, having to play Carolina and then Florida possibly back-to-back. I don't know. I think I'm still more inclined to say, one, get in. Two, you need to start playing better. Because I think if you start playing better, we have all agreed, I think the Lightning's play is still better than the other team's best play. Although, no doubt, it's a little narrower the last couple of weeks than maybe we envisioned with the improvements Carolina and Florida have made. But I think it is an interesting phenomenon, because whoever is going to finish first, you're going to have a team who probably is playing pretty well at the right time. I mean, I don't think Dallas is going to back their way in if they get in. I don't think Chicago is going to back their way in. And I think the same for Nashville. I think those three teams specifically, if they get in, that would mean, Dave, they are playing pretty well at the right time.
Yeah, I think that's... I'm not calling you a fool, Greg, but I think, and it wasn't you. You were saying you were fielding questions from the fans, but it's kind of a fool's errand. And I don't mean that anybody who asks the question is a fool, but I think that it sends you down a path that's not very helpful. Because I remember fielding a lot of these questions in the stretch run of the 2018-19 season.
Yeah.
Because the Lightning were on their way to winning 62 regular season games. It was clear they were going to have the top spot. They were going to get the second wild card team, whatever team that was. And as the race neared its conclusion the last couple of weeks, it was between Carolina, Columbus, and Montreal. Carolina got in as the seventh seed. It's not the seventh seed, the first wild card. They were the seventh seed, but they were the first wild card. They upset Washington, and we know Columbus got in as the second wild card and beat the Lightning, and Montreal missed the playoffs. And I remember hearing from a lot of people, boy, Montreal, I don't want to have to see Carey Price in the first round. And I just think it's a useful reminder that, first of all, there are no easy opponents in the playoffs. And second of all, if you are not playing at your best, it almost doesn't matter who you're playing. You're going to have a tough time. So I think all three of these teams present certainly challenges. Nashville has been, maybe prior to their two games against Carolina, defending extremely well. The Lightning saw that firsthand. Chicago has some very dynamic offensive players and is playing a hungry sort of game, kind of with the house money, maybe a little bit. And if Dallas gets in, as you had mentioned, Greg, they will have hit their stride at the right time, and they're probably going to be looking at a playoff series with Tyler Seguin. What will his percentage of health be? I don't know. But I think we've talked about in some of these games between the Lightning and Stars where Dallas fell short, and we've talked about, well, how much more dangerous would they have been had Seguin been in the lineup? Like, they had that long 5-on-3 in one game against the Lightning, and like, how different would that 5-on-3 have looked had Seguin been out there, even if he wasn't 100%, let's say, in terms of his ability to move around the ice. So, look, I think it's safe to say at this point it's not going to be Columbus. I don't want to eliminate Columbus before it's official. And I do see on Damian Etcheverry's chart, their tragic number, as he calls it, is 10.
I love that.
So any points gained by, in this case, Nashville, or not gained by Columbus, totaling 10. And remember, if you lose a game in regulation, that number goes down by 2. It's not going to be too long before Columbus is eliminated. Detroit actually has not officially been eliminated yet either, and their tragic number is 9. So they're just right behind Columbus. They're only a point behind the Blue Jackets. But of the three teams, I think wondering about, well, what's the best matchup going to be? How is this going to play out? I'd rather see this team than Florida or Carolina, then have to play Florida or Carolina in the second round if the Lightning can get through. We just don't know. Like, the Lightning might finish in the 2-3, face whatever other team is in the 2-3, and if they win it, maybe the team that finished first lost to the fourth place team. And the Lightning are getting that team anyway. So, as I often say, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know. What I do know is that the Lightning want to be playing better than they are playing right now if they hope to have another long playoff run. That I believe, without any shadow of a doubt.
At Bolts Radio, weigh in on that. It's a good point. Tampa Bay getting set to take on Carolina tonight. All right, Dave, let's dive into Carolina a bit. And we've got a couple of questions we can address at the end of the show. There are a couple of things that stick out for me when we talk about Carolina. And we've seen them up close and personal. We know how good of a team they are, play with structure. I think they're tenacious in a lot of ways. You know me, when it came to Carolina, and we had Alec Campbell come on a number of times to talk about their goaltending, maybe we have to start giving more credit to what they're doing between the pipes, because at least if you look at the two guys who are playing the most, and I understand he's come off injury, but he's in limited time, he's been very good. That would be Mrazek and Nedeljkovic, who, let's face it, was that his first start when we saw him a while back take on Tampa Bay? It might have been his first victory in the NHL. I can't remember. It was one of the other.
Well, it was his first shutout. It was his first shutout for sure.
Okay. I don't know.
Because he shut out the Lightning. It was not.
Okay.
No. He played. He actually got his first win in his first NHL start and only. No, I'm sorry. He had played in the 16-17 season in relief. Okay. Didn't get a decision. His first full game, 18-19 season, his only game that year in the NHL, he won it.
Gotcha.
Then last year, he had 4 more games.
Okay.
During the regular season, went 1-2-1. So he had 2 wins prior to this year, but very, very limited NHL exposure. But a lot of work in the American Hockey
League. And he was tremendous.
They, think we had mentioned Charlotte, their AHL affiliate, won the Calder Cup in the 2019, that 18-19 season, and he was a big part of that.
And, you know, we had kind of asked the question, I remember, to Alec about what's their view on him? And, you know, Alex's viewpoint, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I'm kind of paraphrasing, is that, you know, maybe they don't view him as a long-term guy. Maybe they're not willing to give him the reins. You know, this is right around the time when he saw the Lightning for the first time because he just didn't have a ton of experience. But you can only go off of what the guy did up to this point, and at least right now, where he started 16 games, 10-4-2 with 1.92 goals against and a .930 save percentage. Haven't seen all the games, obviously. Don't know if they play tighter in front of him compared to some of the other goaltenders they've thrown out there. My sense is Carolina plays a certain way. It doesn't really matter who their goaltender is, and for the most part, those numbers probably are all legit. And we have seen him up close a couple of times. He's looked good, for sure. And actually, all of the Hurricanes goaltenders has looked good against Tampa Bay this year. But maybe that is a question that is being answered big time this year for Carolina, and maybe that's no longer considered a weak spot heading into the playoffs. The other thing that sticks out, and I want to get your thoughts on both of these, is their scoring. I mean, take a look at how many guys have double-digit goals for them. It's pretty impressive. Now, you used to look at Carolina as a team that would, you know, maybe win games 2-1, 3-2, and maybe that's still the way they want to play, but they have some guys, Dave, who now are a threat to score. You know, whether that's drafting and developing guys, whether that's trading for a guy like Vinny Trocheck, who's come in and done well when he's healthy. And of course, you have Dougie Hamilton back there, who is, as Brian had mentioned, is kind of like their Victor Hedman, who's having a phenomenal year. He's a plus, I think, 16 this year. And the knock on Hamilton all those years was the fact that he couldn't find the defensive side if you gave him a map, because he struggled a lot with that. But you always knew he was a really good offensive player. Maybe he's starting to find his game now. But bottom line is, Carolina, some of the questions they've had over the last couple of years, goaltending and offense, it doesn't seem to be a problem, Dave, this year, and I think it's one of the big reasons. In addition to how structured they play and how tenacious they play, anyways, this is really a handful, this team, and probably the reason why I've said a number of times to you and to our audience here, they are the team that makes me the most uncomfortable when Tampa Bay goes against them, because I see a lot of Tampa Bay in Carolina when they're playing their best. Maybe they don't have the same star power that Tampa Bay does, Dave, and certainly not the same goaltending. But they've made improvements in those two areas to narrow the gap. And I think it's to their credit, and it's one of the reasons why, as Alex said when we had him on, you know, he thinks they're a legitimate Stanley Cup contender.
I'm going to try and, best I can, draw a comparison and contrast between Carolina and Florida, because I think I have a pretty good read on where Florida is right now. And I don't think they're a carbon copy of Carolina. And we can tie in the Lightning as well, because I think you make a good point that you see a lot of the Lightning in Carolina's game. And I do think that is fair. So, again, through six games in the season series between the Lightning and Hurricanes, and they haven't played. Remember, they played those five games or four games in a row. They had an early game in Carolina, then they had four in a row, and then they played that one other road game for the Lightning where they were at the end of that long, busy stretch, whatever it was, 15 games in 26 days, however it played out. And they looked a little weary, and Carolina had the upper hand in terms of how the game unfolded. But it was a close game. That was the game where Natchez scored in the power play late, and the Lightning lost 4-3. But they gave up 40, 41 shots in that game. So we've seen Carolina not recently, but we have seen Florida recently. So here is what I think about Florida. I think Florida plays with a high pace. I think they have a dominant player in Barkov with a really good cast behind him. Bennett looks like a good add. Huberdeau's a very, very good player. Duclair is certainly dangerous. But I don't think that compared to Carolina, Florida overwhelms you the way that Carolina can overwhelm its opponent with possession and coming at you wave after wave after wave. I do not know if Carolina is capable of locking things down, though, like Florida did and I'm going off the last game, really, but
yeah.
I'm seeing that from them. Like, Joel Quenneville has got them D'ing up pretty well. Will we see that from Carolina? Will we have a chance to see that from Carolina? Maybe the Lightning have a lead and Carolina is forced to chase. But I think Carolina, you have talked about this, your best defense can be a good offense. Carolina can make the other team quiet offensively because they have the puck a lot, right? And they're forcing their opponent to have to play defense for long stretches. But what I have noted in the six games, even in the game that the Lightning got shut out early in the year, 1-0, where they lost in overtime, and then the Nedeljkovic shutout, I'm trying to remember if that one, the Lightning were quite as dangerous. The Mrazek game was the 1-0 overtime loss was Mrazek's start right before he got hurt at the start of the year. I feel the Lightning have generated chances fairly regularly against Carolina. The problem for the Lightning has been getting the puck in the Carolina end where they can go to work. But like you mentioned Hamilton. I remember there was a play last game where Hamilton is in the offensive corner, left corner, and the puck got turned over and the Lightning had a 2-on-1. Now, was that Hamilton? Was that the forward who was supposed to cover for him? They didn't score on it. But, like, I remember the last game, which was a game in which the Lightning didn't have a great performance, but, you know, Coleman's open in front for a tip. Maroon scored on a rebound in front, open. We will see if this will continue, but I think that one of the reasons why we talk about Carolina's goaltending is that, and Alec actually brought this up when we talked to him at the start of the year, is that they can be loose defensively. Now, their numbers defensively are pretty impressive this year, and you mentioned Nedeljkovic's numbers specifically, under 2 for goals against and a save percentage of .930. That's tremendous. That's very, very good for a young goalie in his first real crack in the NHL this year. I'm just saying, to me, the distinction between Florida and Carolina, understanding we haven't seen Carolina recently. In the last couple of games, Trocheck was out. He was hurt. They have him back now. They added this Yanni Hakanpaa at the deadline. He slots into their top 4 on D. They traded Hayden Fleury, who was kind of a 6-7 for them.
I can't wait for Phil to say that name, by the way.
Yeah, well, at least it's pretty straightforward. Hakanpaa, right? I was going to say it sounds like a bureau you'd find in IKEA, except he's Finnish, not Swedish. So
that's right.
Maybe they'll cross the border and take a Finnish bureau and include it in their store. But I think that's the distinction for me, that Carolina, their best defense is simply overwhelming you offensively with their speed and their pace and just coming at you in wave after wave after wave and after wave.
Yep.
But if you can actually force them to play in their own end,
it's a good point.
You might be able to generate some looks. I felt that the Lightning did a fair amount. Certainly in the last game, they played in the Florida end. But what were they able to generate? Now, was that on the Lightning? Was that on Florida? I don't know. I was just really impressed with how Florida D'd up in these last two games. More so than in the earlier games this year, which the Lightning and Panthers, you know, they play those three games fairly early in the season. So I may change my opinion here after these games Monday and Tuesday. We get a look at Carolina, see where their game is at. But, you know, they took on Nashville, and they just overwhelmed the Predators in shots. I think they eclipsed 40 shots in both games. So they definitely laid the hammer down on Nashville. And their attack, again, without watching the games, based on the box score, it looks like their attack was more than Nashville could handle, as well as the Predators were playing defensively coming into that two-game set. Also, Carolina had lost a couple of games at home to Detroit, so they maybe had a little burr in their saddle, and they're looking at, we might see Nashville in the first round.
Yeah.
You know, we want to get our game back in shape, and we want to send a message that this is not going to be a series the Predators want any part of. You know, there may have been some of that going on too, but like looking at the box scores, it looked like Carolina overwhelmed Nashville in that two-game set.
You know, when you were describing Carolina, I couldn't help but go back and say that's kind of what the Pittsburgh Penguins did in 2016. Overwhelm teams offensively. If you could get in their defensive zone, you know, they weren't the greatest defensive team, but they were just really good. I mean, you remember the series against the Lightning. They just came wave after wave after wave, and they just, you know, you turn around and you say, okay, we scored two or three goals, but, you know, they had 45 shots on goal, and it felt like they controlled play for most of the night.
Yeah.
And I think Carolina is similar to that. And, you know, to make another Pittsburgh connection, a guy who's playing really well for them is Jordan Staal. And when you talk about centers, Dave, who can D you up, I will be really interested to see which assignment the Staal line gets. Do they go after the Braden Point line? How effective is Jordan Staal now with his big frame? Because he's always been good defensively. He's adding some offense to his game a little bit more this year than the last two. Maybe that's because of injuries and some other things. I don't know. But he is one guy that I think, you know, we talked about the Gord line going against Barkov and maybe how much energy the Barkov line or the Gord line had to use going against the Barkov line, and maybe that's one of the reasons they weren't as effective. It will be interesting to see who the Staal line, assuming that's the defensive line that they can, within reason,
well,
understanding.
Let me just say this, Greg, though. Like, Aho is a great player. He is a great player for Carolina, but Carolina does not have a Barkov. Very few teams do.
No, they don't.
This guy can dominate a game almost single-handedly. When he comes out there, he can tilt the ice basically by himself, you know, because it seems not matter who
you're talking about. Barkov.
Talking about Barkov.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that Carolina has one guy that is that sort of player. They have a stable full of really, really good players, and which is why they can come at you in waves. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. I think you're right, and I think.
But you were talking about matchups, so I think it's a different matchup challenge for the Lightning anyway, in terms of who they want to match up. Like, matching up against Aho's line is a different challenge matching up against what Barkov is able to do.
Let's get to some questions here, and you bring up a valid point. At Bolts Radio.
And Greg, let me just make one last point tying it to the Lightning. So I kind of spell that, and again, I may be way off on this. I'm just going off of kind of what I have seen from these two teams, Carolina and Florida. So I think you're right. The Lightning can be a team that overwhelms the other team coming at them offensively wave after wave after wave. But what they did in the bubble last year, they also defended well. So when they weren't able to dominate possession, we've talked about this, and they were forced to play in their own zone, they weren't giving up tons of chances. And so I don't know, like, when the Lightning are playing at their best, they're almost, you're taking, the way I broke it down, you're taking the best part of Carolina and the overall excellence of what Florida has shown and melding it together. And that's why the Lightning won the Stanley Cup last year. And that's why we keep saying, can they get back to that level? And really, it's defensively, I think, is where they need to get back. But let's get to the questions.
It comes down to defense, and you're right. They got to be better there. This comes from James. He wants to know, do you think we'll see Kyle Foote coming up here pretty soon with Luke Shen getting the last couple of starts?
Well, they want to get Kyle Foote in there. Carolina's pace. Now, Florida has fast pace, too, and they wanted Luke Shen in the game. So it's not like they said, well, Florida's pace is going to make us not want to put Luke in. They wanted to get Luke in, too, because he hadn't played in a while. But I'll say this. I wouldn't be surprised if Cal is back in, if not for tonight, then for one of the games coming up here against Carolina.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it was nice to have Shen there, particularly after the Gudas hit to Cirelli. You know, whether you think that calmed some things down. And look,
chatter during the warm-ups.
There was.
Maroon in the game on Saturday.
Yeah, they were kind of circling around. And
Shen and Maroon, and I guess David Savard, too.
Yeah.
Phil noticed it. I didn't notice it.
I noticed it because my segment with Bernsey, I happened to glance at center ice, and you could see them talking. Nothing happened, obviously. Dale wants to know, how did Tyler Johnson look so far as your fourth line center with the moves they've recently made?
So I would say Johnson had a tough game on Saturday. We mentioned the play on the third goal. He took two penalties, both in the offensive zone in the second period. But I did listen to the last call, and Brian Engblom pointed out, I hadn't remembered this play. Like, Johnson made a couple of defensive plays with his stick that may have saved goals. So those are not as obvious as when a guy commits a turnover or something like that or takes a penalty. But he made some good defensive plays. I think as a whole, that line, Joseph Johnson and Maroon, has done more good things than not. Having said that, in the third period, they put Colton back on that line with right. Maroon and Joseph. So I don't know what we're going to see tonight.
Need a little bit more, as you said.
What did you think?
Yeah, I thought the Huberto play has been a bit indicative, I think, of Johnson's play defensively a bit. And I think that needs to be tightened up. Because regardless of what he's going to give you offensively, Dave, you can control what you can do defensively at times. And I think that's where you want to see him use his speed, use his tenacity to be a force defensively. And I think the offense will come because I think he has enough skill still, even if it's on the fourth line, to generate some good chances. And look, he's not going to be going against the best defensive pairing if you're on the fourth line. So you're going to get some chances, hopefully. And
he had a great chance in the game on Thursday. It was in the second period. I remember Drieger almost made like a lucky save. I shouldn't say it's lucky. Maybe Drieger knew exactly what he was doing. But he was moving side to side, and the puck kind of just nicked off the crest of his jersey.
He needs to start playing well, because I think it's pretty fair to say when everybody comes back, I think you can make a strong case. Johnson might not be the guy in the lineup. And I think he's playing for his right to be in the lineup these remaining 12 games, and I think that's fair. I don't think I'm telling you anything that we don't have evidence to support. I think there's a lot expected of Tyler Johnson. I think it's in him to do it, and you'd like to see him start doing it tonight, and we'll see how that works out. 6 o'clock is when we'll have Brian Burns and Kaylee Chelio. 6:30 is the pregame. Then Dave and Phil will have the call at 7 o'clock. Should be a good one, and we invite you to listen and participate with the last call afterwards as well. Dave, great job as always, buddy. We'll talk to you tonight.
Talk to you tonight.
All right. Thanks to everybody involved in this broadcast. Thanks to Steve Ersnick as well. We'll be with you tonight, Lightning and Canes, right here on Lightning Power Play.